Okay, testing, one, two, three. Okay.
Okay, please just monitor recording, please.
Start tonight with prayer, our new council member, Lethal Garza, I believe this is prayer.
Dear God, we come before you right now, Lord, with a humble heart, Lord. We just honor and praise you, Lord. We ask you that your wisdom be with us throughout this meeting, Lord, that, that everything we do is for the benefit of the city and, for our citizens around our city, Lord. We honor you and we glorify you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, so, tonight, is there anyone here who is having any trouble hearing? May speak. It's all coming through loud and clear. For those who might come in, that are hearing impaired, we do have listening devices available in the back, and Stan would be available to help anyone who might need them. We're going to go to item 1.02 on our agenda, the roll call. And I see that everyone of the council and the mayor are present, so we can move on to item 1.03 on our agenda, citizen input. This time, if there's any citizen who wants to bring an issue before the Othello City Council, you have up to 5 minutes to speak. I've asked you to raise your hand and be recognized. Dave Spurl, please.
Hello, I'm Dave Spurl, 862 South Crestline Road. Just a little heads up. There is a little problem getting in out of Walmart. The main entrance exit of Walmart. It's sight distance, both directions. Those trees are getting quite full. A local businessman came to me recently, he grabbed me by the shoulder, took me up there, and he said, we really need to work on this. And he says, I have a tree trimmer that comes to his business once a year, trims the trees, picks up all the clippings, and he will work with the city, or yes, work with the city when that man comes around. It'll be in the fall. And we would like to have a city employee, probably from the maintenance people, with us, and we'll park a pickup up there because the pickup is higher, and that's the sight distance is even more limited when you're a little higher. And we'll go back a ways on both sides and trim up, and then take all the clippings away, and we'll have sight distance a little better. You have to pull out a long ways in order to see east on Cunningham Road, especially if you're in the pickup. Those trees really block it. And the other way, coming from the city, if the car is in the inside lane or the curb lane, you don't know for sure if he's going to turn into Walmart or go straight by, and you really can't see him. Anyway, this is just a heads up, because we will get an okay from the powers to be and Wade Ferris, maybe. Probably be in September, but I just want to make you aware of it. Thank you. Yeah, no charge. The businessman will take up the cost.
Okay, we'll probably have a little interactive thing go on here, so there are issues with that, and I think maybe Terry, you could, if you'd like, would you like to speak to some issues? Because I've noticed the same thing, and I think some of you guys have too. I believe, I don't know, isn't that on city property now, in the city right of way? And what are, maybe you could enlighten us as to how some of those issues are handled.
Those trees are in the city right away, but those are Walmart's trees. The first year I came here in 2008, Mr. Shannon McKay had an issue with those trees, just like Mr. Spurl here. And it's Walmart's responsibility to basically trim those up and keep those tidy. They are in our city right away, but they are Walmart's trees. They were planted when Walmart was put in.
Okay.
And we've addressed this a couple of times with their manager down there. And they've got a new manager now, so he's a little different.
Okay. So with regard to to Dave Spurl's proposal of having someone come in, would they need to receive permission from Walmart?
I would think so. Those are their trees.
Yes. Okay.
But if they're in the city right away, they're planted by Walmart as part of their locating there. When did they become city property?
They didn't come. Go ahead.
That's called a greenway.
Can you come speak at the microphone?
That area there is described in RCW as a greenway. And so we can enforce Title 46 on it. So if there's a car parking inside of it or anything like that, we can still have violations and take enforcement actions. However, the weeds, the trees, the caretaking of that is by the home or the landowner that's adjacent to. So this is, I would say, a code issue. I can have Heather go up. We can get the property. There is some measurements that have to be done, and we can get the trees trimmed up.
Okay. So you're talking about an enforcement action from Heather writing a letter to Walmart?
Yeah, first we'll investigate it and see if there is a violation or not.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some distance issues. Mm-hmm. As far as
side issues.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so that's what needs to be looked at right now.
Okay. Thank you, Dave Lim.
Yeah. Take a pickup up there. It's higher. You can't see very well on a pickup. A lower car.
I don't disagree with you. I think you're right on about that. You are right on.
Yes.
That those trees should be taller and trimmed up above the sight line for coming in and out of there.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay. It doesn't have to be a pickup. My wife's Honda Pilot. You can't hardly see.
You can't see.
Their traffic is moving fast through there.
Also, while the Spurls are here, as you've noticed, that as water has come and been released into those pots, that we're having staining come through. And have you guys had a discussion about that or any possible solutions?
He's right behind us.
Okay, good.
Those are, they soaked them up the first day. And they've soaked up pretty much all of that stuff, so that's what you're getting. So the water has to be tailored back to handle the 6-inch sleeve that we put in the actual drain sleeve that we put in the tile. So as soon as all that drips through, we've cut the drip system back. We've got to adjust it up to get what we do, and then we'll come back with some muriatic acid and we'll clean the stain off the sidewalk.
Okay. Thank you very much, Terry. Lively citizen input tonight. Anything else from any other citizens? Okay. Hearing on, we'll move on to our item 2, current business 2.01, update council committee list. As we discussed at our last council meeting, actually the last two council meetings, as we were preparing to replace Dan Deaver and the number of committees that he was on, we were to be prepared tonight to go through this list and make new committee appointments. So this was your chance to get on committees you wanted to be on, get off committees you didn't want to be on. And so I figured that we would tonight go through that list. And starting with the Adams County Disability Board, the left one. This council rep is made by mayors of Ruffalo, Ritz, and Ritzville. The fire rep is made by the fire district. The police rep is made by the police department. And the citizen rep is made by the left board. So the council rep, Ruffalo, we recommend this appointment. And so with the green,
is that, report, I think you should probably look on the board because it is Corey Evers. We confirm that.
Okay.
Or I can give you a microphone.
Okay, we'll move. Yes, you're correct. Thank you, Debbie.
Okay.
Yes. So Dan Deaver, let's go to the second page of our list. Dan Diva was a member of the Beautification for Main Street Committee. Currently, we have Gina Doro and Ken Johnson on those committees, and I need a new committee member to, new council member to volunteer to be on that committee. Those committees meet...
Once a month on a Thursday.
Last Thursday of the month, correct?
Last Thursday of the month, at the senior center for lunch.
Yes.
We really need Angel.
I felt that coming.
That would be one meeting a month.
So, one, okay, what day?
That's the last Thursday of the month at the senior center for lunch. And when you become on that committee, I believe Lynette Carruthers is very faithful to send out email notices to remind people. So if you wouldn't mind giving your email address to Ann Spurl before you leave tonight, she'll make sure you get added to the list.
Yep, it'll work.
Okay, thank you. Code enforcement. Currently, we have Mark Snyder, Eugene Bain, and we have staff people, Spencer Williams, Interim Police Chief Dave Rim is on code enforcement, and we had a ad hoc committee selected for a particular project, but this would be an ongoing, and so they would only meet as necessary. So we don't currently have any necessary meetings, but I do need someone to volunteer to be on the code enforcement committee.
Should that be combined with the code enforcement non-compliance?
Debbie?
Pardon?
There were, the question Mark asked was, should code enforcement and code enforcement non-compliance be combined?
I think the code enforcement was a budget committee before we eliminated the budget committees, trying to scale down on the committees we have. At the last meeting, our meeting before, the code enforcement non-compliance committee was appointed. So they could be the same. I mean, we could just put code enforcement and all issues go to the same committee members.
Okay, so we have Gina on the non-compliance, we have Gina, John, and Angel. On the regular, we have Mark, Eugene, and a vacancy. So we have 1, 2, 3, 4, yeah, I have 5 council members as part of that. So, I'm sorry?
You only have 3.
Right. So between the two committees, I have 5 council members. So, John wants to be on code enforcement.
You could scratch my name off of there. I mean, it's that one was for budget, and during budget times, we'll still have.
We'll still go over that, yeah. Okay, so Mark has taken his name off. So I need either Eugene, Gina, or Angel to withdraw, and then I have a committee of 3.
Or make one of them an alternate in case a council member couldn't make it.
Let me rephrase that. Who wants to be on the code enforcement committee besides John? The new reformed code and non-compliance code enforcement, the combined committee. You want to be on it?
Well, I'm on the non-compliance one, and I'd like to continue with that.
Okay. So now we have...
I'm on that one, too. I'd like to continue.
Okay. So that means
I'll drop out then.
You want to be the alternate?
Sure.
Okay. So are you following, Debbie?
Yeah, Angel, did you want to be on it?
Yes.
Okay.
So Angel, Gina, and John will be on those committees, and Eugene will be the alternate. And they will meet as necessary.
Well, we're just going to call it code enforcement.
Yes. Our next vacancy that Dan was on was the Comprehensive Plan Review Committee. Currently we have, and it's met, the meeting schedules when needed. As we go forward into updating our comp plan, that committee is going to have regular meetings, probably monthly, sometimes more at certain points. We currently have Gina and Ken on that committee. And John has volunteered to be on that comprehensive plan review committee. Is there anybody else desiring to be there? Okay. Then we will appoint John Lawless and add him to the comprehensive plan review committee. The next vacancy we have is the Gray and Osborne Inc. OHS Scholarship Committee. Eugene wants to fill that vacancy left by Dan.
I can do that even though I have a high school student, can I?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Independent Salary Commission. I need to find a member of the public, and I haven't done that yet, so I'm going to have to work on that. I'll make a note to myself.
It's the one that's the store right behind my business.
Yeah, he moved to Wenatchee, so he's no longer can be served.
Yeah.
The next committee is the Law Enforcement Committee. We currently have Ken Johnson and Mark Snyder on the Law Enforcement Committee. That must meet as required or as necessary. Corey, you'd like to be there? Very good.
Who was that?
Law Enforcement, Corey Everett. The mayor and Gina Doro are currently on the legislative committee, and I have two vacancies for the legislative committee. That committee would address legislative issues that affect the city. You want to be on that, Corey? Ken?
Yeah, if. I'll give Angel first choice if he wants to be on it, but okay, I'll take it.
Moving on to the next page, we have a park committee.
We are what we have these highlighted is we have the park committee that was put together to discuss the development of a new park. Then we have the park and recreation committee. And we do more of, in action with Molly Clipper, with her park and recreation department. Our question was, should we keep them separate or do you want them to work?
What was the park committee, a budget committee?
When the city was looking at purchasing property to buy land for a park.
It had Ken Dawkins on it, and Kevin McDonald, and Amanda Vasquez. So it was more of the development, what did we want into the park? We can keep them separate.
Council, should we combine those?
I think so.
Mark?
I'm on both, so it's, you know.
You're good.
Yeah, it might be less time involved than doing one meeting for both.
Or at least have the same people. Yeah.
Is that full already for a position?
We've got John, Eugene, Gina, and Mark. And we need three. So John, Eugene, and Gina are already on the park and rec, and what we would do is eliminate the other one.
Mark's on it too. He's on the committee.
He's on the park committee. But we're talking about eliminating the park committee and going to a park and rec. Right, Debbie?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that would be more inclusive or broader reaching?
Do you want to be on that, Andrew?
Yeah, maybe.
He can have my spot.
Can you have, you can't have four on there, can you?
No.
Why don't we put him on full and put me as an alternate?
All right.
Can we do that? Angel wanted to be on that, so let him be on it and I'll be an alternate.
Okay.
What about the pool committee? Isn't that really something that should be in that also?
Come on, alternate.
I mean, it's part of Parks and Rec.
We're on all three of them, so.
That's a good question. Do you have any comment, Debbie?
On the pool committee, it included the Parks and Recreation commissioners.
Oh, from the Adams County Parks?
Uh-huh.
Because in, yeah, the pool.
Because of the development of the pool.
Yeah, because the city doesn't own the pool, does it?
Years, so it's been open 6 years or something.
Yeah.
Not yet. But there's a vacancy on the Park and Recreation Commissioner. I don't know who left or what happened. Alan Gates, and he probably the person to talk to.
And that's an elected position.
Yes, sir.
That would be Park and Recreation District 1, right, which is an elected position.
And we can call
that one.
Find out.
Okay. Let's find out who's on his board. Every so often there's an election. And then the union negotiating committee. Myself, John, Gina, Wade, police chief and Kevin Wesley, our lawyers, all on that committee. So we have a vacancy. We're right now in negotiation with the line officers and their union. And so those meetings are taking place several a month, correct? And they can go for up to 3 to 4 hours. Normally, though, they haven't been any longer than about two, have they? And usually in the morning. And I would entertain a volunteer for that particular committee.
All right, I can make the time for it. I can make the time for it.
Okay. Kevin Johnson with his volunteer. He spoke first, so he knows the railroad drill, right? Okay, thank you very much. So are you full now, Debbie?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, my responsibilities then as the mayor is to find someone for the Independent Salary Commission, the Park and Rec Commission, a commissioner for that pool committee, and a new planning commission.
At the next meeting, we'll ask you to reappoint Claire Lackey to the planning commission, but we still have a vacancy.
Okay, very good. Thank you. Moving on to item 2.02, budget discussion. Spencer is going to give us some information over two specific portions of our budget, the finance report and the cash position report. Spencer?
Thank you very much. I just wanted to take this time during this meeting to go over just a portion of some of the reports that I prepare and give to you every month. And to do this, I'm just going to sit down on my computer so we can walk through just a couple of these things. I'm just going to hit a couple of the highlights. Here, this first report that I've brought up here is a cash position report, and it's in your monthly reports that you get from me, you'll see three different reports that look very similar to this. This is the last page of that report. And I wanted to walk through this one and then hit just a couple areas of my official finance report with just the paragraph format, and then come right back to this and just have a brief conversation about that. So this report, I'm going to zoom in. Before I zoom in, let's see if I can get feel it works. Just going down the left side here, these are all the funds for the city, the fund name and the fund number. And then I'm just going to zoom in so we can read the tops of the columns up here. If we grab, we can use the general fund. It's the very top one up there as our example. So here's the general fund, fund 001. When we go through, here, let's go to about that point. Here we have the actual beginning fund balance. And these are the actual dollars that we began the year with in that fund. So we have the actual beginning fund balance. We have the budgeted revenues and then the budgeted expenses. And just running through the math of those three figures, we get an estimated ending fund balance. So our ending fund balance, this isn't going to be right on. It can only be an estimate because we don't know exactly what our revenues and our expenses are going to be. We know based on trending and Olympia, we can get a best guess of what our revenues and expenses are going to be. But ultimately, it's an educated guess. So then those numbers come together to get our estimated ending fund balance. That is, for the general fund right now, it's $619,000. So if we go over a little bit, what I think this report is the best at is showing you as the decision-making body. It shows you different options. It shows you available dollars in different funds. So just continuing along with the very first fund up here, we had the beginning, the ends, the outs, and the estimated ending fund balance. I wanted to take out, or to back up, just reiterate, so this says we have an estimated ending fund balance in the general fund of $619,000 right there. Those aren't all available dollars. Some of our funds, not all of them, but some of them have a minimum fund balance, a minimum ending fund balance that the council's agreed, that the council's agreed upon. For the general fund, that dollar is $500,000. And you can see we just have a couple of funds going down the column here that have a minimum ending fund balance. And this is like this is for the rainy day. This is just set aside. We pretend we don't have it for now. So eventually, in the future, when we come up against a hard situation, we're not broke. This allows.
What funds are you referring to? Are
the minimum ending fund balance?
Okay.
So from our general fund balance, we have $619,000. Our estimated ending balance. I want to take out the $500,000. So you don't see the 619 and think, oh my gosh, we have $619,000 available, because $500,000 of that, a huge portion of that, is in this minimum fund balance. So if we take that portion out, in our general fund, we have $119,000 here available, and so that's available for projects, for things that the council wants to do moving forward. Now, I wanted to add one more thing on here also. This next little section here, I just called After Council Projects. We have a couple of things that the council has been working towards for the last 1 year in some cases, and multiple years in other cases. If we come down here, you can see this is our sewer fund. We have an estimated ending fund balance of $4.4 million, a little closer to $4.5 million. The reason we have such a large fund balance is because we're saving up for a new sewer treatment plant. And so over here, I wrote sewer treatment plant, and I locked up all of those dollars for the sewer treatment plant. So when we come to the very end, what dollars are available for new projects. For the purposes of this report, I put zero. And you can see these other things that the council has expressed interest in doing. We have the community center, $350,000. At the beginning of this year, we had, it's about 450. 200 was going to be for the skate park and the other 350 for the community center. So I took that 350 out of this ending fund balance for, that fund was called? The Park and Rec Reserve Fund. So here we have the Park and Rec Reserve Fund. We have an estimated ending fund balance of $352,000. But remember, it was the desire of the council to be saving up for a community center. So these aren't locked in stone. These are just things that the council has expressed an interest in. And so for the purposes of making these estimated available funds maybe more realistic or more in tune with what you've wanted to do for the last couple of years, I added this other column where we're taking out these other dollars. And so that leaves us with this projected dollars remaining. And these are the dollars that are after we take out the estimated, or the minimum fund balance has been taken out of this final column. The other projects that council's expressed interest in doing have already been taken out of this column. So this is really this is the column of available funds. These projects, although you as the council have expressed interest in doing these projects, these aren't locked for this specific purpose. You as a council can still, this is your budget, so you have the right to make changes as you wish. So what I want to do here in this report here is just help you see the available dollars when new projects come down the pike. And so I wanted to show you this, and then I wanted to show you just a snippet of this other report that I prepared. This is a report we can kind of, well, no, you can't see it. This is a report that I prepare every month. It has a couple of different sections in it. I have a finance news section right towards the very top, which I fill with whatever I think is pertinent information, stuff that I want you to be aware of. Then I also go down through some other revenues and expense trends, where we are. We're halfway through the year. We should have about half the revenues for a given fund, and we should be about halfway through the expenses for a given fund. Either we are or we aren't. And if we are, great. If we're not, then I would expect there to be some reason for that. Our expenses from our water fund, for example, are way, way behind this the budget for this time of the year. And the reason for that is our well, our new well. We've just barely started drilling it. Those are massive dollars that we're looking at. They're 2.7, I want to say, ish. And we haven't started spending those dollars. So I just go through some of the different trends there, some interesting tidbits. This very first section, though, I wanted to bring to your attention. These items here, and this these bulleted items, these dashed items, these are things that we've discussed in council that have not yet been worked into the budget. So the very first one, Prothman search for a new police chief. That's $20,000. This is something that we discussed in council maybe 4 months ago, and council said, yes, we want to do this. I put a recommendation for where we should take this budget, where we should add this expense. In this case, it's the general fund. We have a few other things. Fireworks. We increased our fireworks by $5,000, so now we have the $10,000. So we have these expenses here that are not worked into our budget, that are not yet reflected in the projected dollars remaining. So these two reports, I think, work really well together. I didn't want to add these items, the fireworks, the Prothman search, street corridor study that would be out of the street fund. I didn't want to add those projects to this chart here that I have up on the projector here yet, because we just haven't worked those. Those projects aren't officially a part of the budget. I just, when you as the council are considering something new for the city, I just want you to know that this is how I make my recommendation. If you ask me, so Spencer, do we have funds available for this particular project? This is what I'm coming back to. I'm looking at the estimated available funds at the very end of the year, and looking at items that the council's wanted to do, and saying, well, do we have the dollars or not? So that's kind of just a brief overview of a piece of the monthly reports that I prepare for you as council. Ultimately, these reports are made, I hope they're helpful. I hope they're informative to you as the council. If you ever have questions about these reports that I'm preparing, you ask me now. You can ask me, just come into my office and we can talk about different funds and what some funds can do and what some funds can't do, some of the different restrictions that we have on our money. So that's really all I wanted to present tonight, just a brief overview of some of the reports that I prepare. If you have any questions, I can entertain those now or in my office.
Council?
I'm always available.
Taking a look at account 401, what's the difference between the utility fund account 401 and the 107?
So 401, that's the water fund. Then the 107 fund, that's the water reserve fund. We have a fund like that for each one of our utilities. We have the water, then water reserve, sewer, then sewer reserve, solid waste, then solid waste reserve. We have a few different reserve funds for our general fund also, for park purchase, for property purchase. Really, the whole, you could view the reserve fund as the savings account.
So when people pay their utility bills, and industrial users pay their utility bills, does it go into the 401 account?
The 401, yes. Okay. That's the active utility account.
Okay. Right now you have a fund balance, a starting balance, you have an estimated budget balance, or a budget amount,
yes.
And then you've used that budget amount as your expense amount. And
right.
You're showing an ending balance of the same amount, but in your memo, did you forecast where we're at today with the utility?
With the water,
the blue and the red.
Yes. So our water utility fund, that's 401. Here's our water utility account. This is just looking at the revenue side. This one looks a little strange because we have the well project going on. For budgeting for that project, we budgeted to move money from the reserve fund over to the water fund, and then we budget then the water fund itself, we budget the revenue to receive that money for the well, and then we also budget the expense from the water fund to expend the money to go towards the well. So looking at the revenue side, here, this report is as of May. May, we're 41% of the way through the year. So this line right here shows 41% of the annual budget for the year, annual revenue budget for the year.
The blue line,
yes.
Okay.
And then the red over here, this column, that's where we actually are. And so the reason the water utility fund is so far behind in the revenues is because we haven't started paying for the well 9 project yet. So I haven't transferred the dollars from the reserve fund over to the water fund itself. As soon as we start paying
for that project.
So are you paying for the well project out of the utility fund right now?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, everything that is related to the water utility of the city and any other utility of the city is going to go through the main utility fund. The reserve fund is just off to the side, and we use that those reserve dollars as we need them. In this case, it's for the Well 9 project. We budgeted, I want to say it's $2.6 million from the reserve fund to come into the water fund for this year.
So is this taking an estimated value of what you're going to pay in full? Or is it, I mean, the blue, is it what is it representative of today, right now?
Those are the actual expenses that have been expended from the water fund.
How much have we paid for the drilling right now?
We haven't paid anything for the drilling.
Okay, so that's not even on there. And we're lagging that far behind?
Right.
On our utility?
If we take... there's another report that I prepare also. Our water utility is doing just fine. The water utility is just by itself is kind of a cyclical fund. We receive most of the revenues into that fund during the summer months when most of our water sales occur. So you can see kind of a bell curve. If we take out the Well 9 project from our water fund, our expected revenues and our actual revenues would be pretty close for this point of the year. And the same with the expense side. It's the well project makes it a little harder to see. There's another report that I prepare that I give to you on a monthly basis that breaks down some of the individual revenues that go into the water fund. So you can see the water service sales budgeted and then the actual. And those numbers would give you a better picture. I don't have that here tonight, but if you go back to the last report, it would show, you can see the actual service, the service revenues. I think that would answer your question.
I'll just come in and talk to you about it.
Yeah.
Visit with you in your office.
Sure.
So we get a well, understanding of what...
Yeah. And at that point, we can look in more detail. This is a high level look at the fund activity.
So, is there any other questions of Spencer? Very good, Spencer. Thank you. Moving on to item 2.03 on our agenda, review of OMC Title III review, revenue and finances. Spencer.
Thank you very much. As you know, we're reviewing the different sections of our of the municipal code for just making sure that the sections are consistent across chapters, making sure they're up to date with the legal, and making sure they're up to date with our the organizational practices, our policies, how we operate here in City Hall. I've reviewed Title III, and Title III is called the Revenue and Finance title. We've sent this title over to Code Publishing. They've reviewed it. We've had our attorney review it. We have a couple of changes to propose to you tonight that you can review tonight and you can review over the next couple of weeks. Tonight, the whole goal is just to inform you of these changes, and we can talk through these as you wish. We have, I guess, two categories of changes tonight. There's some minor ones where I'm changing the wording from
clerk treasurer to clerk or finance officer or administrator. There's a phrase that's repeated in here quite often, clerk administrator. We don't have a clerk administrator. We have a clerk and we have an administrator and we have a finance officer. So I went through and I updated those portions of the code to be more reflective of what we actually have here. And so you'll see those changes all throughout the attachment on board docs. You'll also see some other changes that are more significant, where I'm crossing out an entire paragraph and adding a new paragraph completely. And all of those changes are recommendations from our city attorney, and they do a couple of different things. They add here the very first, maybe on page 4 or 5, we're looking at some changes to page 6. Yes. So here we're looking at some changes to our utility tax that's charged by the city. And the changes here are to give the city a statute of limitations, more protection against the refunds or errors in calculating these utility taxes. And you'll also see there's an appeals process that our attorney suggested that we add to our code. And this just gives us a more cost-effective way of addressing the differences that come up. So we have a couple of those changes. If we look further on under our leasehold excise tax section, this is the tax that is charged when someone uses city property. It's the tax that's charged in lieu of a property tax. It's there are a couple of changes there. 304.020. The city attorney suggested that we cross out large sections of this paragraph. What the city's been doing for a number of years is updating this language in this paragraph as the state's regulations have changed. And so she's proposing, instead of making an update every year to our municipal code, let's just cross out all of that language and add a reference to the state regulations, RCWs. There's a misdemeanor. If someone fails to pay their leasehold excise tax, failure or refusal to pay the tax designated in this chapter constitutes a misdemeanor punishable as provided by this code. Our city attorney advised us that this isn't actually a city ordinance violation, it's a state law. And so it's making that clarification from city ordinance to a state law. You'll see a couple more pages under the sales and use tax. You'll see the exact same change. It's not a city ordinance violation. It's a state governed item. We added a section in there to discuss the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee. These are the tourism dollars, and this section in here talks about the makeup of that committee, where we have one council member. We have five members altogether, one council member, two individuals representing the payers of that tax and the hotels, and then two individuals representing the users of that tax, the tourism-related organizations. And so we have language in there that talks about the makeup of that organization and how that works. And then the other changes in here, changes from treasurer to finance officer, again. So with that, I would just advise, or I would request that you look over this over this next week, and we'll bring this chapter back to council next week for final adoption, and we can make these updates final for the city. That's all I have.
Very good. Thank you, Spencer.
Spencer, I just have a really quick question on one. Maybe it's just a point of clarification.
Yeah.
On three, it's on page 10 of the 22 pages of this on 3.03.070, Rules for Administration and Enforcement. It starts off, the city administrator is authorized to adopt, publish, and enforce from time to time such rules and regulations for proper administration of this chapter as shall be necessary. Is it the council's spot to adopt the rules, then the administrator to publish them and enforce them?
Well, here it's the council's responsibility to pass the ordinance that says how it's going to be done. In this case, it's passing the responsibility on to the administrator to enforce.
It says adopt.
Adopt. The word adopt is there.
It's adopt and publish.
That would be for a policy. The city administrator wouldn't be able to adopt a new.
Okay.
That's what. That would be an internal office. Yeah. Any other questions?
So you're asking us to review this and be prepared to adopt it at our next council meeting?
Yes.
In this ongoing process of updating our...
In this ongoing process.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Spencer.
Yes.
Item 3, are there any committee reports tonight to be given? Item 4, unfinished business. I guess this fits under unfinished business. You realize this Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8:30 is the meet and greet session for the three candidates for our new city police chief. That will take place here in the council chambers. So council is all encouraged to come, bring your spouses, meet the new candidates, and that is going to be an opportunity to get them to ask them questions one-on-one.
Did you just say three candidates?
There's only three. One dropped out.
Dropped out.
The one from Texas.
Okay.
Dropped out, so there's now we're down to three. And then on Thursday at 8 o'clock, we're to meet here. The council is all invited to participate in the interviews of the three candidates. So you might need to let Wade know whether you can make it or not. You don't have to tell me tonight. And we're going to have four panels, so there each candidate will interview through the four separate panels. We don't have, each panel is going to have about five members on it, so if some of you guys don't attend, we may cut it back. But as my understanding is the sheriff is going to be there, juvenile court administrator is going to be there, Tom Salisbury from the fire department is going to be there, our city staff, Debbie, Spencer, and Terry, and Wade, and myself will be there. Dave Rim and Scott LaRose, who's the union rep for the line officer, is going to be part of that. We have, I think, President of the Chambers, Terry Thompson, and then we have a few others. I just can't think of them all off the top of my head, but you guys are all part of that process and are welcome to be a part of that process. So if you can get time off work to be there, that could take as long as from 8 in the morning till 2:30, and lunch will be provided.
Okay. So if we have meetings after lunch, personal meetings, we can attend 8 to 12 anyway?
Yes.
Okay.
So that's under unfinished business. New business, I would like to go into executive session for approximately 10 minutes to discuss potential real estate. And so I would ask that this meeting, that we ask the public to leave, and I would like staff to stay, Spencer, Terry, and Debbie.
How long?
15 minutes.
Okay.
7:51 p.m. Okay, that concludes our meeting tonight. With no further business, I will adjourn the meeting at 8:18 p.m.